creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
That is a song called Industrial Fairy Tale. And the person performing that song is someone who I've been absolutely addicted to over the past, couple of months. I'm fairly new to Canal Boat Diaries. But I tell you what, since I found that programme, it's the first lot that I've actually sort of binge-watched since Breaking Bad. I tell you, I am absolutely addicted to it. It's Canal Boat Diaries. The new series starts on You and Yesterday tomorrow. I've got to get sort of watching the older episodes. But I'm so, so pleased to say that joining me from his narrowboat, well, I think he's on his narrowboat anyway, is the gentleman who, he's the star of Canal Boat Diaries, Robbie Cumming. Good morning, Robbie.
Morning, Gav.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Yeah, just weather's not too bad. It's not when it gets windy on a narrowboat, that's a bit of an issue. But when it's raining, it's fine. Just sort of stay in, and if it's too cold, stoke the fire a little bit. But yeah, it's lovely being by the water. Especially when I've got so much going on in my life now because of all these TV series and things. It's just lovely to still have the calm of the water outside.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I've learned to appreciate, I suppose, through the show, is that just watching the show and the water and just everything about it, it is so relaxing. It's like we're on the boat with you. It's just so, so nice to watch and sort of relaxing. Now then, this all started for you from a school friend offering you a chance to house-sit a boat back in 2012, I believe.
That's right. I just thought, yeah, why not? Give it a go. It's nothing that I ever thought about before. But I had been renting various places. I didn't have a job at the time, so I didn't have even enough disposable income for bills or anything. So yeah, a free place to stay, brilliant. And I thought, yeah, I can get a job in London, perhaps where the boat is, and see what happens. But I never did get a job. I just enjoyed moving the boats so much. And 3 months later, it sold. And I was a bit sad about that, but at least I knew exactly what I wanted to do with the rest of my life.
And then I believe the BBC noticed your YouTube channel, which you'd been filming sort of what you were doing on the boat. And it's through them, really, that we have to thank for Canal Boat Diaries.
That's right. About 6 or 7 years later, I had been doing YouTube a few years. So it's not an overnight success. It never is. But a producer who'd already been making canal boat programmes, Stuart Woodman, you'll see his name on the end of the credits. Canal Boat Diaries is his baby. The style of it is different to my YouTube videos, but we've learned from each other over this process. We film together, we edit little bits and here and there, and he's the one that also picks some of my music as well, so I'm always grateful whenever one of my tracks gets on. So, and thanks for playing it at the start of the show. Brilliant.
Oh, I've listened, and again, it's one of those things where I didn't really know sort of the extent of the music that you've actually got available. That one is from Tunes 3. How many albums have you got out of your music at the moment?
I'm writing the fourth one. I'm working on other collaborations with people, but it's just three at the moment. The first two are available as a CD. It's only available at my live shows that I'm doing, and at these live shows I'm basically giving a talk, traveling around the country, giving a talk about all my experiences, lots of funny stories, mostly because, you know, stuff that happens to me, it makes a story, doesn't it? Even if it's a bit, you know, you think, oh God, Robbie, why have you fallen in again or whatever? And so I'm telling them all about the behind-the-scenes stuff and Canal Boat Diaries, and also playing a little bit of music as well. So I do a bit of performing. But yeah, music is my real passion, I would say.
And that, along with all the images that we get to see well, it's just so beautifully put together. I can remember when I was a kid, I used to watch Tales from the Riverbank. You're too young to remember that. But the music that went along with that programme as well, it just topped it off gorgeously. And that is the same with the music that we hear on Canal Boat Diaries. I mean, I'm sort of fairly new to watching the show. But I tell you what, I have learnt so much from just watching the show, the history, the geography, the music as well, the music knowledge, and sort of going past all the places where famous people lived. I know that in, I think it was the last series, or it might be in series four, you visited George Harrison's house. And
yeah, that was that series, yeah, series six. And,
yeah.
Along the Thames, there were a few other rock sort of sites. There was the Mapledurham Mill on the Thames, where it was used on the album cover of Black Sabbath's first album. So if something like that comes up, we'll definitely try and feature it. Even going to Walsall and see on season five and seeing where Noddy Holder used to kick about. So yeah, it's quite funny. Really.
Oh, I tell you what,
from Slade. Yeah,
you've got the best job. And there was a section with Mary Shelley as well, and the Frankenstein,
yeah, right,
and everything.
And some comedians, you know, especially in the new one, we do a bit more on comedians, including Eric Morecambe, who had his 100th birthday. Well, he would have had his 100th birthday the other day. And so I get to meet his son in one of the episodes. And also I get to go on other boats, not just on the one I live on Naughty Lass, some other ones that I just had never tried before. And so you'll enjoy seeing what that's like as well.
Now, as I said, I've learned so much through watching your shows. You must do a hell of a lot of research into the places that you visit. I mean, not just for places that you have to stop off to, you know, to sort of buy food and stuff, but all the sort of geographical and the history pieces of it as well. Is that all done for you, or is it something that you sort of look up and decide that you're going to mention?
Oh yeah, I do everything myself. I've got to be honest here. There is a team of production assistants, and Stuart, the producer, he's just absolutely brilliant how he can research everything. I've tried in the past, but you just get down these little rabbit holes, and you think, oh wow, it's so interesting, and then you realise, oh yeah, I haven't actually been doing all the basic work. So what we're trying to do is we're going to these various locations, but we can't go into too much detail because then it detracts too much from the journey. I've learned so much about TV making, and lots of people might, or some people do complain, say, well, why didn't you stay longer there, or why don't you have a look at this historical fact from this area? And you've just got to try and reduce everything down, haven't you? So we do have to cut out a fair bit just to make it fit, which is amazing considering, well, on the face of it, nothing much happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've only got so much time as well. You know, there's the pressure of sort of getting it all into one sort of episode or one series. Yeah. And I mentioned that I've learned a lot through watching your shows, including the language of the waterways, and especially a gongoozler?
Yeah,
am I right
someone
in that?
Who likes watching canal boats.
Where did that come from, the sort of word? It's like the gypsies' language, isn't it? You know, sort of, they've got their own language. Do sort of canal and waterways people have their own language?
It's interesting because I did talk to a historian, a lady called Wendy, who crops up again in last series and series five and this one as well. I said to her, would the old boat working boatmen and the boat families, would they have used words like cast off, phrases like cast off or even moor up? And she said, well, no, they would say let go instead of cast off, and tie up instead of moor up. So just little things like that. I just thought, oh, well, that's really interesting. They wouldn't have said stern and bow so much, I don't think, these sailing terms that you hear people, you know, port and star, but they wouldn't have used those, you know. And the locks really hammer this point home, because they're so simple. What they do is seems quite complicated, but it's so simple to operate, because they had to be, because most of the people operating them didn't go to school. They hadn't had that formal education, so it needed to be really simple. Some of them couldn't even read or write.
I'll tell you what, looking at those locks as well, and how big and heavy some of them are as well. You must have to be. Yeah, you've got to be so physically fit.
Or just have boat muscles, you know.
Yeah.
So I couldn't lift very much in terms of weight, but, you know, in terms of opening a lock gate, perhaps I'll do much better at that. But cranking the windlass.
Yeah.
So, it was technique. A lot of the time, it's just technique.
And I suppose it's what you get used to as well, isn't it? Because, there's so many locks. I mean, I saw the one where you were on the Thames, and there was something like 138 locks or something on the Thames. You know, and I didn't realise the Thames stretched as far as it did. Such an educational programme and so addictive as well. So now that I've been asked to ask you this, from Steve, our program controller.
Yes.
Do you have a favourite tunnel?
And which tunnel does Steve operate?
See, I didn't want to lead you down that road. he's at the, is it Harecroft?
Harecastle?
I'm sure it's something like that, because he said you've got to ask this.
Well, if it is the Harecastle, that is a cracking tunnel, because it's quite scary at first, because you go in there, it's one-way traffic. But to reduce the fumes, they turn these fans on. To turn the fans on, they got to shut the gates behind you. So you're sort of locked in this tunnel, dark tunnel, as soon as you go in. But it's fascinating, the colour of the water, it's all orange, and because it leaks through the iron and things. And just all the stalagmites and stalactites, is that right? The colour of all these deposits, the minerals, the deposits on the inside of the tunnels. It's fascinating. It's like going through some kind of alien world at some point.
I just had a look at the message. He says that he's recently done the, and I've no idea how to pronounce it. Is it Tardy Biggy Flight of Locks?
Tardy Big Flight, yeah.
Ah, yeah. That. He's done that twice. And he says, and unlike you, he didn't fall in. Steve, for goodness sake.
Showing off now, isn't he?
He is, isn't he?
You're not a real boater until you've fallen in. That's what we say anyway. Presumably to make us feel better.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the bit that the last time, the last one that I watched in my binge watching, you'd sort of, it was raining, you'd slipped in, and you said, yeah, we're not going to mention that. And about four times throughout the whole lot, you mentioned it. So that is probably Steve now sort of telling me.
Yeah, exactly. It's my producer. And I guarantee you, because I have seen the new episodes, I have to look through them and do the voiceovers and all that sort of stuff. I guarantee that every single episode has me falling, that same sequence of me falling in right at the start, just so you didn't miss it. Not my choice, but
exactly, yeah, you don't do it for comedic effect, I imagine.
No,
so
I actually couldn't laugh for several weeks afterwards without causing myself some pain, because I cracked a rib going in. So it just goes to show it can be dangerous. Mucking around on canal boats.
Absolutely, yeah. So. Now then, one thing, I mean, the Naughty Lass, that's a diesel boat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's your opinions on electric canal boats?
Well, I mean, certainly it would be cheaper at the moment, wouldn't it, with the diesel prices that they are, but certainly not cheap to set up. It's a lot of money outlaid to install everything, and I've seen some of the boats where they've had to, because of all the batteries they need, they've had to lay it underneath the floor. So it's generally new boats that get these systems, because it's part of the structure itself, almost. It's part of the design. I thought you could convert the Naughty Lass, my boat, to electric, but yeah, I wouldn't want to, because I've tried them before, and there's a trip boat on the Huddersfield Narrow Canal that I helped launch, and you can't hear what's happening. It's so quiet, which is great certainly for some couples who have said to me it saved their marriage, because they've hadn't had to, shout too much to communicate. But at the same time, for me, I need to hear what is happening under the water. You can't see under the water, so I want to hear what's happening with the propeller and that engine sound. I mean, most people who watch the show, they love, as soon as they hear the engine chug, chug, chug along, it instantly lowers their blood pressure.
Absolutely, and that is another thing that is so relaxing about it. There was one section I was watching just last night, and it was the bit where you were sort of, I think it was coming into Nottingham, they'd got sort of all ice on the canal. And it just sounded like a car sort of really struggling to, to start in the wintry weather. Thank goodness it started.
Yeah,
yeah. And I, probably along with everyone else who watched it at the time, was sort of holding my breath for that to start. And it did. And it was great. So,
there's lots of moments like that.
Oh, yeah.
Gogglebox likes taking the mickey out of these ones, where You can see on my face, see how worried I am. Because I am genuinely thinking, how am I actually going to get through this patch of weed, for example?
Yeah.
And all the everything I hear from other boaters saying, oh, you're going to struggle going down that way, because they love to say that, to put you off somehow. But then moments later, it's not as bad as I thought. And maybe that's an analogy for life, really. It's hopefully, it's never as bad as you really think it is.
Exactly.
There's always something that's worse. But yeah, sometimes you can just... Your worries can overtake. You can just think, oh, you put so much energy into worrying about something, and then, sometimes it just blows over, and you think, oh, what was I worried about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As you say, it's an analogy for life as well, so it's never as bad as what you expect. Now then, the new series, as I've been telling everyone, it starts tomorrow. It's on You and Yesterday. It starts tomorrow, Monday the 18th. This is the seventh series. What can you tell us about what's new in this series?
Well, as I said, there's a few boats that we had. So because of the drought we had across the system last year, I had to actually ditch the boat a couple of times. So I had to get on two other ones, one to explore a river that I couldn't get to because the lift was broken, the Anderton boat lift. And another one leads me to explore a part of the network that I would not be able to get to on my boat. So that was really special. And also I lose my phone in the canal and also fall in again. So got all that to look forward to.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I can't wait for it to start tomorrow. I should be, in fact, I'm out tomorrow, but I should be watching it on catch up, on You catch up as well. I'm so looking forward to that.
There's also, I need to mention, of course, there's also a very, very, there's a few special guests, a few people that pop along, including Wendy, the historian that I spoke to, but also right at the end, very, very, very special guest. I'll say no more, but it will certainly make it's, it'll be a lovely moment for everyone to see.
Even more special than Timothy Spall.
Sorry, Timothy, but yeah, I have to say that. Yeah, he'll forgive me when he sees.
I'm sure he was. Well, I can't wait for that. For people who want to find out more about you yourself, the music, the television programme, what's the best place to go to?
Just head to robbiecumming.com and all my links are there. It's quite a simple website. You just press on whatever social media you want to follow through on or music as well. And live shows dates as well, if anyone is able to make those.
Brilliant stuff. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. This 20 minutes has gone so fast. it has, and I've still got loads of questions, but otherwise we'd be running into this into the sport after 12 o'clock. But thank you.
Can't do that.
Well, I would if I could do, but I'd rather talk to you than listen to the sport.
Well,
but...
I'll be watching my team today, so that's what we'll be doing next, watching the football.
Who's your team?
Man United.
That's the
Yeovil Town. I've got a soft spot for them as well. So
That's the one that we're reporting on. It is so. But thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for sort of making such an addictive and entertaining and educational programme because it's absolutely gorgeous and so relaxing as well.
Well, they said they should. Some people have said it should be prescribed on the NHS. Well, so there we go.
You know what? I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. To get people's blood pressure really down, just watching those gorgeous and the scenery as well. So we could go on forever talking about that. But Robbie, thank you so, so much for joining
Cheers,
me
Kev.
This morning. We'll be watching the show tomorrow. It's Canal Boat Diaries. It's on You and Yesterday. And it starts again tomorrow, Monday the 18th. Thank you so much, Robbie. It's been a pleasure chatting to you.
Cheers, bye.
Cheers now.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery, and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.